Anchor.
If you haven't heard about Anchor,
it's the easiest way to make a podcast.
It's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain.
Oh, please.
It's free.
Awesome. That's cool.
There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer.
You do it from your phone, like on the go?
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
And on the bus or the subway, you can do it.
That's cool.
Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Go ahead.
You can make money from your podcast, too. No minimum listenership. How about that? You can make money with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. Where do we have to go, Bob?
Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Come see me and Chris DiStefano on the East Coast as I do October 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. Go to AndrewSantino.com. You can find out where I'm doing all that stuff.
You two are bad friends.
Who are these two idiots?
A white dude and an Asian dude. You two are disgusting.
Well, you two are something.
We're bad friends.
Papa got them dope shades on. Hi, Rude. Hi. How are you, dude?
Hey, little baby, when you're going along and you're sitting down there.
Nope. Hey, little baby. Hey, little girl, is your daddy home?
Oh, I'm on fire.
True.
Hey, little baby, we're shining on, and I don't know why, but you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind's on fire.
Nope.
Oh, I'm on fire. Hey, little baby, when you're dumb, and you don't know mine, suck it all night long. Yeah. I'm on fire. You know, I always sing that song.
It's raining ash. Hallelujah. It's raining ash. Ash. Smoke. Fire. It's all on fire.
It's on
fire. Fire.
Great balls of fire.
What's going on?
He used to date his, his cousin, 14.
What?
That guy that sang Great Balls of Fire. Henry Connick.
Henry Connick Jr.?
That's not his name.
Henry Lee Lewis? Harry Connick Jr.?
Didn't they make a movie? Oh, you know who played him?
Who?
One of the Quaid brothers.
Randy.
Either one.
Jason. Terry. You know,
Taylor Quaid played the guy in the movie.
I love it.
Great Balls of Fire.
Hi, Rude.
Hi.
Hey.
It's so smoky outside. I'm going to show you something. This is incredible. This got sent to me this morning. We can't play the music, but people at home can look it up. Okay. Someone took the footage of what's going on in San Francisco and put it to the Blade Runner soundtrack.
Oh, shit.
And we can't play the music because, YouTube will get us. But look at how insane this looks. This is all legit. This is what it looks like, what's going on down
God.
There.
Oh, my God.
Look at how insane that is. This is not doctored. There is no filter on this.
Oh, my God.
This is real drone footage that's up on the
crazy
interweb. What color is that, Bob?
Reddish orange.
Santino. That's Andrew Santino.
Oh, Andrew Santino color.
That literally looks like me. That's like as if I blanketed the city of San Francisco.
Yeah, it's a terrible color.
Terrible.
It's a terrible
Imagine
color.
Imagine if you have to live with it all over your body.
Yeah.
This San Francisco knows what I feel like for a couple of days. The ridicule that they're facing, this is what I feel every day of my life.
Yeah. But you know what? Actually, your face structure and stuff, like God didn't fuck you entirely.
No. The face is
okay.
He
gave you a pretty good face. So
not
he went,
bad.
You know, I'm going to make. He probably turned to Moses and, Saint somebody and said.
Moses was around?
Moses, Saint somebody, Cleopatra, whoever it might be. I'm going to make. He's Southern. So, God's Southern.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, because, look at the Christians.
Let me tell you something. I'm fixing to make me a little dude.
And
I'm going to make him freckle face, red headed.
Yeah, but I'm going to make him kind of good looking.
He's going to be okay.
Yeah. And then everyone's like laughing, right? But let's see. He's going to die anyway. People are going to kill him. When he's young, the people are going to kill him. But watch. And he threw you down there, and you fucking survived it all.
And all the disciples, like Cleopatra and Saint Somebody, was like, I can't believe he survived, God.
They survived it, yeah.
And he was like,
I'm not going to make another one of those again.
That's the last one I'm going to do. When he made you, he went, check this out. Check out this big-headed little flat-faced dude I'm about to make right here. This buggy-eyed, massive-headed dude. You're going to love this dude. This dude is Short, stumpy, stocky.
Fucking asshole.
Short, stumpy,
God's
stocky.
An asshole right
He's
now.
Never going to get over 5 feet tall, even with lifts in his shoes. And yeah. this little dude's going to be ugly. When he made Rudy, what did he say when he made Rudy?
Well, you know what I'm going to make? You know what I mean? I'm going to make a human pygmy.
A little pygmy?
Like, yeah, a pixie pygmy. A
little pixie pygmy girl.
Yeah, and this yep. one right here is going to, her face is going to look like a tiny bean.
Like a little bean, like yeah, a little, like
I'm
a little pinto.
I'm
going
to make one ear bigger than the other ear. Could you have noticed
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Which one is bigger, yeah. Rude?
My left.
Just take off your headphones real fast so we can see. Show the camera.
I'm going to make one ear big, and listen,
Whoa,
man.
Oh, it's big.
Hey, listen to me, man. Hey, man, listen to me, man.
Sorry, yeah, man. Yeah.
Like, if she was a bird, she wouldn't be able to fly, or she'd fly in a circle. That's why I'm going to make one ear bigger than the other, right? I'm going to make really skinny, like, Gollum-y arms.
Tiny arms.
Yeah.
Little T-Rex.
Big feet, though.
Huge
Big
feet.
Sasquatch feet,
Sasquatchy feet.
Big feet.
You can water ski on them.
Yeah.
You don't even need water skis. You got skis on your feet now.
Well, if she was an Eskimo, she wouldn't need snowshoes. You know those snowshoes that they she wouldn't need snowshoes.
Wouldn't need snowshoes.
And we're going to have her a funny accent, and she's going to love dumb things like anime.
Anime.
But she's going to she's gonna be a master of knives.
Oh, yeah.
A master of knives.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see.
Look at this. They found Rudy on the internet. So many fans sent this to us, by the way. This is Rudy. Rudy, you got found on the internet. I don't know if you've ever seen this clip.
Let's see.
The music is the theme of Halloween. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Look at this little girl. Tell me this isn't Rudy. Little mini Rudy.
Rudy. Juliana, what were you doing there?
Yeah, what was going on?
Yeah. That really is her.
How creepy is that?
Fucking creepy.
The mom just gave this little girl. This little girl's got to be like, I don't know, six, seven. And she's just like, here's a knife, here's a mask, and made her dance around in the living room. That looks exactly like Rudy, by the way. It's the same color brown, isn't it?
But we don't know the fish. She could be 42.
She is. That's an LP.
If she's Asian, then that's...
That's an LP. That's a little person.
That's an average sized.
You know what I said the other day? I just saw Brad Williams this morning. I just played golf with him, speaking of little people.
Wait. That...
I played golf with Brad this morning.
You... What? Where do you get his clubs?
What do you mean?
Could I just ask? Right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
There's probably because he goes to Baby Gap or whatever, right?
No.
For his clothes. So no. Is there a Baby Golf Club store?
Yeah.
I'm being real. Is there golf clubs for kids?
That's what mini golf is.
I know, but are there golf clubs? I'm being real. I'm not going to make fun of them.
Yeah, there are golf clubs for kids. Yes, there are.
And he's using the golf clubs for kids?
I think he gets adult clubs fashioned for him. You can get them shortened. Bob.
It's amazing.
I thought about the other day. I said
no, but let's. And does he wear like when he does the the cart,
what?
The golf cart?
Oh yeah.
Is there like a little miniature like, you know what I mean? One that
it's a sidecar.
Mattel makes.
Have you ever seen a motorcycle with a sidecar?
Yeah.
So there's a golf cart and there's a mini golf cart right next to it.
Oh, I see.
And he gets into that one.
So that's great. That's wonderful. It just makes me laugh.
He was good at golf. He's a good. Brad's
I've
good
never
golfer.
Seen a dwarf golf.
Have
you ever seen it? I've never seen it.
I mean, I played with Brad before.
Dwarf do a lot of things.
Like what?
Skydive.
I have.
Oh, you have?
I don't know if
you would think that they would just fly away.
I don't think.
They go, and then the wind would just take them to like Argentina.
Now, I don't know if he was skydiving or they were throwing him out of the plane, but I did see a dwarf pushed out of a plane.
Oh, I'm sure they were pushed out.
I don't think he got a shoot. Yeah, I think they pushed him
joke,
out.
Yeah, a joke. You know what I mean?
No, Brad's a good golfer.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah, he is.
Is the hole like closer to him, like in the middle of the?
It's bigger. It's twice as big.
It's twice as big
for him.
Am I being mean?
No.
Yeah, I love him.
No, we love
him. What a great little guy.
He's awesome. He's my favorite.
Because I'm so small.
Yeah.
I'm so small that like.
You're not much bigger than Brad.
I know. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I'm around Brad, I always whisper to him, I go, I just like hanging out with you because, you know, the whole world has always been like, I'm the dwarf. No, really has. Because when I walk into places. Everyone's so much bigger than I am.
Yeah.
Right? That I kind of have to look
I
want to,
like, rub your head whenever I see you.
Right. So then when I'm around Brad, I go, I just like, this is new for, this is just a good experience for me.
Well, you know what I said? What? I said the other day, I was like, I want to play with Brad. And I was thinking about Brad because I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I thought, Brad must feel more vulnerable than we ever think sometimes. Mm. Like, imagine walking down the street at any moment. some psycho, some crazy dude on the street on drug, could just kick him. Someone could just run up and just and boot him.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about every day of your life some crazy person could, when you walk past a crazy person on the street, it's like, you know, that guy that like yells at the trash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That guy could just turn and see him and go, hey! And Brad's like, huh? Just runs up to him and could kick him.
Yeah.
Physically boot him.
Yeah.
I think about that. Like, he could just get kicked. Someone could just run up and kick him. Don't you? How crazy is that?
Yeah, but when you could kick a dwarf, something bad's going to happen.
It's 7 years bad luck.
I'm sure it's 7 years. Something bad.
It's like when you break a mirror.
It's like putting a hat on a bed or, you know what I mean? One of those, yeah. One
that's
of those.
Bad.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it? Black hat. Don't walk under a ladder.
Don't walk under a ladder.
Don't do cross.
Don't kick a dwarf.
Don't kick a dwarf.
Yeah, don't kick a dwarf.
Don't cross eyes. If you want to go cross eyes, you can't go back.
Right.
Right?
Hairy. Well, you know, my dad
used
to
jerk off too much, you get hairy hands.
Hairy hands. Yeah, yeah.
What's
you know that one? Parents used to tell their kids, if you masturbate, you're going to get hairy hands.
What's the other one?
If you I would just masturbate, and I'd look at my hand, nothing.
Yeah.
Still well, nothing.
Asians are hairless, for the most part.
Oh,
I don't think it would
maybe it's in
for
the
you.
Inside of the hand.
Because I have to shave. I've shaved this every day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's funny.
Now, there's so many of those. Do you believe in that stuff, Rude? Do you believe in that? In bad luck stuff? Do you believe in any of this superstition? Is that what it is?
No, I mean, I have OCD things where I have to touch things three times, or like in a movie theater, I have to look at a guy three times in back of me. So, like,
shut up.
Oh yeah, you know,
when you sit down, you have to turn and look three times.
No, that's why if I'm at a movie theater and we're watching a movie, you'll never see me turn around.
Mm.
Because if I turn around, like if I turn around and look at somebody, I'll go, this is what'll happen. Mm-hmm. This is what you'll see.
Okay.
I'll be watching the movie. Oh, look at Tom Cruise just jumping over buildings. Does his own stunts. Mm-hmm. What an amazing guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at him go. He's little, but he seems big.
Why do you have to keep looking over? Watch the movie. Stop looking
at
me.
No, I'm not looking. No, that's not. I haven't done it yet.
Well, don't look at me anymore. Stop
it. You're the guy I'm sitting next to.
Oh, so I should be watching the movie.
Yeah, you're watching the movie too. Yeah, yeah, sorry. So,
okay, go ahead.
So this is why I'm watching. Oh, wow, look at him go.
Yeah, he's so.
Maybe I should become a Scientologist. That's what I think when I see Tom.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks good.
And I go, what's going on?
What are you doing?
That's what I have to do.
Well, so what do you need to you look? Do you recognize him?
No,
it's just a human being. You
it's
make
like,
eye contact.
I think that something bad's going to happen if I don't turn around two more times.
He's gonna.
No, it has nothing to do with him.
Just in general.
In general, I think like if I don't do it, then I'm going to leave the theater, and then a dwarf's going to kick me.
Oh, that
right?
makes
something
sense.
Like that. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Or like I'm going to get in a car accident, or something will happen. I do it when I'm at night.
Do you touch the light? Do you have to touch like the
yeah,
light
so
switch?
Yeah, so this is what, when Kalila, like last night, Kalila was sleeping next to me, and my elbow hit her, right?
Yeah.
So then I have to do this. This elbow, and then this elbow. And then it woke her up. She's like, what are you doing? Are you doing that thing again? I go, yeah, I can.
Oh, dude, that's OCD.
It's crazy, yeah.
That's not superstition. That's like OCD. That's like obsessive compulsive disorder.
No, it's superstition.
Nope. Do you have superstition, Rude?
When I point at a tree at night, I always do this.
Yeah.
What? When you point at a tree?
Yeah, if ever I point at a tree, I have to like
bite your finger?
Yeah.
Okay.
What kind of Filipino voodoo shit?
That's I've never heard that before in my life.
A tree. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Because you know what? Because you're thinking to yourself, how the fuck did you come up with that?
Yeah, wait.
The first time.
Wait, how do you bite it? How do you bite your finger? Show me.
Like that's it?
Yeah, I can imagine her going like this, looking at a tree one day and going, I have to do something. You know what I mean? Do I tap my feet three times? You know what I mean? Do I raise my hands and do this with my hands? You know what I mean? No, I'll do this.
What does this
what
mean?
What is that?
Rudy, what does that mean?
Older people said that if you point at a tree, you have if you don't bite it, then your fingers are going to be cut off.
Filipino folklore.
That's Filipino folklore.
So somebody taught her that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
When you point at a tree, your finger's going to get cut off?
Yeah, by some kind of monster.
Dude. I mean, it's crazy. Have you been to the Philippines? There's trees everywhere. So you just see Filipinos buying their fucking fingers
all day, just walking around.
It's crazy.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah. Well, we gotta cut these trees down. This is getting out of control. You know what I mean?
That's the weirdest thing.
It's insane.
I used to, the only thing I had was in high school, this was crazy, and it went away because in my mind I thought, oh shit, this is going to be it forever. When I got out of the shower in high school, you know when you, I had a, we had a knob that, and you pop it out and then you can turn hot or cold. Do you know what I'm talking about? And when you push it in, the little drain thing goes down. Yeah. So when I, when that went down, I would have to catch it before it went down and spin it on my finger.
Yeah, that's weird too.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
It would go bump because the noise was like king kong. So I'd go king and then catch it and I'd spin it and then I'd have, in my mind, I'd have a good day.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Right? Isn't that weird? But you know what's weirder? Pointing at a tree and putting your finger in your
that's
mouth.
That's crazy.
That's really strange. Yeah. Biting it. Mine was just the habit of not making the noise because it was so loud when it clamped.
That's like saying you have to do something when you see the sun.
Yeah, you have to go, I got right, full up.
You know what I mean?
Yell at the sun.
Yeah, it's just something that's like just so like when you see a cloud, right? You have to put two fingers, you know what I mean, on your eyebrows, right? And go, Alleluia, Alleluia, whatever. It's yeah. crazy.
Yeah, but I've seen that before in the Philippines.
I know,
they do that.
They do that. But you know what my mom used to say? Because when I don't know if you guys did this, but when you have a Charlie horse.
Oh, right.
Or
yeah.
you have dead leg, you know, you have a dead Charlie, leg, yeah, or and Charlie horse.
Yeah.
You lick your finger, right? Three times, and you put it on your nose.
That doesn't help the Charlie horse.
It does.
No way.
I swear to God, it does.
Really?
Yeah. It does. If you have a Charlie horse, go ahead.
What about when you get when you get a muscle cramp? You know when your leg tightens up?
Yeah, yeah.
The worst feeling in the world when you're like, oh, and you try to go straight with it, and you're like, oh, and it hurts even more?
Lick your nose.
Lick it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It works every
really?
Time.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's psychological.
It's getting your brain away from
the
feeling?
Yeah, away from the feeling, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
That's so strange. Like, whenever I would have a... Whenever I'd have like a sore tooth or something, and my mom, she would come in the room and I'd say, oh, I have a sore tooth. And she's like, I'm going to go get something. And she would leave the room and never come back. And the soreness would go away. I thought she was going to go get something for me. And I was thinking about what she was going to get. Mm-hmm. And she never would come back with something and it would go away.
Really?
I swear to God. Because it's in your mind. I think she's going to go get something to help me.
You know, it's it's funny. It's like. My parents didn't know about, like, traditional things that you tell kids or, you know, or folklore, American folklore or any of
like
that.
Like tooth
right?
fairy and stuff?
That, right? So, yeah. You know, you hear about it from friends, right?
Yeah.
If you put, you know, as a kid, you know, if you put your tooth underneath your pillow.
You get a dollar.
You get a dollar, yeah. Right? But if your parents have to know about that, right? So I would just.
Why would they have to know about
tooth,
it?
Because at the end of the day, it's their parents that put the fucking dollar in there, right? It's not really a tooth fairy.
Yes, it is. What are you talking about?
There's no, I'm like Santa Claus, right? Your parents have to know about Santa Claus for them.
Well, they have to know about it to teach you about who he is.
No, about because they're the ones that buy the presents and put the presents underneath the tree. I love what you're doing.
I think you're.
This character is so funny.
I think you're a little misinformed. I don't know how they do it in South
Korea.
Yeah,
so
but
what
here,
you're telling me, Andrew.
Santa Clausia.
Yeah, yeah.
Santa Clausia.
So you're Saint Nick, a fat white guy who probably has diabetes.
He does have diabetes.
Yes, and I don't know how old these reindeer are.
148,000 years old. He says that all the time.
The songs? Yeah. Yeah. He goes to every single house, billions of houses in one night.
Yeah.
Okay.
How could it not be possible? Have you never seen him tracked on NORAD? Do you know what NORAD is?
No.
You don't know what NORAD is? Uh-uh. They track where he goes. They track Santa Claus on NORAD with satellites. I don't know where he is right now. Let's see. Official NORAD Santa tracker. Let's see what he's up to. Rudy, don't laugh. Come back December 1st. All right. So the tracker's off right
anyway,
now.
Anyway, the joke I was going to tell about my parents about the tooth, but, you
well,
know,
wait,
now
on.
The joke is
we
not going
to
work. It's not going
to
work
hold
now.
On. We can get back
I'm just going to throw it out there just because I have OCD about it.
Okay. What is it?
Right. I think the bit I was trying to go for is that I don't know, something about maybe I had 15 feet teeth underneath my pillow over the years, something like that. I don't know.
Can
it wasn't going to work.
Let me give you one.
No, it's okay. You just fucked my joke, but.
I didn't.
No, let's go back to NORAD, though.
No, stop. NORAD's not up right now.
Yeah.
No, can I tell you? There's a friend of mine.
Because then I was going to go to another bit about.
You can go into the bit.
I was going to go about another bit, but then the bits aren't going to work now because your joke was funnier.
Yeah.
About the thing.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. About not knowing
but
Santa
your,
Claus is.
But
so then
your,
now, my, the two, but I have to throw the jokes up because I have OCD.
Did your dad not know about Tooth Fairy for real?
But here's another shitty joke I was going to get into.
Okay, give me one.
Right? And they're not even true. I was going to these jokes that I was going to throw out, but I have to say it now because of my OCD, right?
It's your joke.
Because this is the episode, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like the things that you would tell your kids, like the thing is that if you watch the TV, what do they say? Your parents say.
If you sit too close
to the TV, what happens?
You go blind.
You're right. That's what my dad kind of took it and made it his own Korean way.
Mm-hmm.
He would go, if you watch TV too close, grandpa's going to die. Right? And then I'd be like, he's dead already. He goes, you did it. So that was the joke I was going to say.
See, that's still good. I
know,
like that.
But imagine the joke now
without...
if I didn't with the pretext.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
I shouldn't have played.
I would have hit a home run there.
It was a third base. It was a triple.
Yeah.
In the park. It was but a you, triple
you
in the
know,
corner.
But you're very funny.
Thanks.
And we have to go with your gut instinct about that.
Yeah, that was my instinct.
Yeah.
But let me give you a joke that my friend... I'm not going to take credit for this.
Yeah.
Okay? But my friend used to have a joke. My friend Kinner had a joke years ago that made me laugh harder than I've ever laughed in my life. And he used to say... he's like, my dad's from India, and they don't know American customs, just like you.
Yeah.
And he used to say, the tooth fairy. My tooth fell out, and I said, Dad, my tooth fell out. And he goes, okay, throw it in the trash. And he said, no. I'm going to put it under the pillow, and the tooth fairy is going to come and give me money.
Yeah.
And he goes, what? What are you talking about? And he goes, if I put my tooth under the pillow in the middle of the night, a fairy comes in and leaves me a dollar. Everyone at school is talking about it. They're all losing their teeth.
Yeah.
And he goes, interesting. And he goes to bed, and he says he wakes up the next day, and he looks underneath his pillow, and there's no money under there.
Yeah.
His tooth is still there.
Yeah.
And so are 10 of his dad's teeth. And his dad comes in and goes, come on, divvy up the cash. How much did we get? How good is
that's
that joke?
That's a funny joke.
It's my buddy Kenner.
But it's not real. It didn't actually happen.
That's his joke. It's a joke. It's a joke he used to tell.
Was he a stand-up?
Kenner Shaw, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it was the funniest. It made me laugh.
That's a
so...
very funny joke. Raycon! Hey, guess what, Andrew?
What, Bob?
My favorite earbuds to listen to music with is Raycon.
Yeah, Raycon are incredible.
The only thing I use, it's so easy. They're slick.
They're tiny and smooth.
Tiny, and you can switch the songs out. It's so easy to switch the songs, yeah. And it's really... I love it. It's stylish.
I think they're cool because they're half the price of other expensive wireless earbuds. You get ripped off. By the way, if you're getting ripped off and buying those other ones, you're an idiot because...
here are the benefits.
Yeah.
Here's what's great. 6 hours of playtime,
mm-hmm.
seamless Bluetooth pairing,
mm-hmm.
More bass. And more compact design.
Dang.
More compact design. And noise isolating fit.
Right. They snug so closely in your ear that you cannot... hear anything else, even if you're heavy waxed up ears, just like Bobo. It doesn't matter. They're sleek and stylish. You know you're waxy. You're a little waxy, and they fit
in there
anyway.
The company was co-founded by Ray J,
That's right. Many
celebrities are obsessed with it.
Snoop Dogg, Brandy,
Melissa Etheridge,
J.R. Smith, and Mike Tyson.
Mikey Tyson.
They all vouch for Raycon. Me and Bobo do love Raycon. We both use it independently. I use it when I run. Bobo does it when he's hanging around the house and dancing in his underwear.
Give them a try. Raycon has a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure that the pair of wireless earbuds for you.
Pretty good. If you don't like them, give them back to them and say, I don't like this, but I doubt you will. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/badfriends. That's buyraycon.com/badfriends. You get a 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Make sure to check it out now while the deal's still running. It'll be gone soon. Buyraycon.com/badfriends.
BetterHelp! You guys, during this pandemic, without this service, I don't know what I would have done because it saved my life. I think therapy is so important right now,
yes,
and we're
is.
Going through issues, and this has been just a weird time, and it's just really healthy to talk to somebody about problemos that you're having.
And most people don't know who to turn to. BetterHelp genuinely is wonderful. We both used it. I'm a big advocate for therapy as well.
You can start communicating with somebody in under 48 hours. That's
really
so
simple.
Quick.
And it's not self-help. It's not a crisis line. It's professional counseling, okay? It's done all on the internet from the comfort of your house. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to be like, oh, I don't want to talk to someone in some office. Do it from your house. You log in from your account anywhere you are worldwide.
You can also log in your account and then send a message to your counselor.
Yeah.
You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. You know those waiting rooms, so uncomfortable.
It's so gross.
As with traditional therapy.
That's right. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. You can visit the website. You can read testimonials and see all the stuff that's available to you to get good help. Start talking to someone. Don't let the pandemic weigh you down. Speak with someone. Visit BetterHelp.com/badfriends. That's H-E-L-P, BetterHelp. join over the million people taking charge. So many people have been using BetterHelp. They're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So wherever you are, they'll help you. A special offer for our Bad Friends listeners. 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/BadFriends. That's right. Whenever you can get into the depths of like the cultural differences, that's what I think when you're able to make fun of them as a stand-up. Oh, it's so fucking funny. There's a few guys that do it so fucking well.
Yeah.
That show the gaps of stuff. Ugh. Because I don't have that. Like, for my parents, you know, they didn't.
But you could do like a Boston thing or a Chicago thing with your dad.
Yeah, it was just they're mean. Our parents are just mean. American parents are just mean to their kids.
Right.
And yours are mean because they want you to be good. Ours are mean because we're already bad kids. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
A foreigner's kid goes, you better be good because we worked hard to be here. And American parents are like, you're a piece of shit. It's our fault.
It's interesting you say that because I have been thinking about how foreigners come here. And I know my parents were the same. And
what year did they come to America?
In the late 60s.
What a time, huh?
Yeah. But they come here for us, right?
Solely for
they
you.
They come for the next generation. They right. go, they're going to get a good education.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, you know, be cultured, a lot of culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're going to go to great college. They're going to, you know, I'm going to give them everything that I did not have.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, their son is like doing crystal meth, you know, behind a tree, jerking off into a Hustler magazine, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of the forest.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what they made.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their kids don't take advantage of it.
But you're actually the American dream. You bounced back. Think about that. That's actually the American dream. You bounced back. So
no, you tell that to my dad.
In how many other he's dad. In how many other countries?
That's true.
How many other countries can someone do what you did? Get into drugs? By the way, in the Philippines, isn't drugs like you go to prison for life for drugs? Yeah. So first of all, what other countries could you get in as low as you could and then still bounce back and look at you now? So many countries you'd be in prison or dead.
Well, you know, I mean, if my parents had me there in Korea,
you'd be dead.
Not just dead, I would, or it could be like I can't. Maybe drugs aren't, because I think drugs were tied into some of my trauma.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like maybe I wouldn't have gotten into drugs. Maybe I'd be a sake drinker or whatever, or you know,
be an alcoholic or something or whatever. Else. Yeah.
But imagine the job I would have. I would probably just be hauling rice, right, in a factory, and I would like telling you know my friend Han a joke.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hola, Fale." And my back is like hunched. I go, yeah, I know it was funny, huh?
You're so curved. That's
yeah,
your
yeah,
body.
Yeah. It, he's like, yeah. If we had a stand-up comedy here, you could have done that. I know, but we don't. So how many more bags? 52,000 more. you know, whatever. I'd be just doing some fucking
yeah.
You know.
So you're living the literal American dream. You bounced from zero.
Maybe you know. Maybe in I'm South very Korea, lucky. I'm very lucky, right,
you are.
Jules?
You
yeah,
are
very lucky.
So is she.
Oh my God,
she's lucky. We don't call the feds
on
her.
This one right here.
We can get you deported, pal. Yeah. We can get you kicked out right
away.
I
see her sulk.
Oh, when she's sulking,
like she's studying, right? And she'll come out and her shoulders are down, and she'll just do a little pout, like, "Oh, it's hot." You know what I mean? Everything is so hot, you press. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, we give you fucking everything.
Yeah, you have everything. What are you really depressed about, though, Rudy? Depression can come from other things, Bob. We know that.
I'm not depressed. I'm just tired from doing all my homework. That's
you know, she started school.
Yeah, but what do you mean you're tired from doing your homework?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God.
Rudy.
I'm not
shut up.
Shut up.
You shut up.
Ungrateful.
You ungrateful little brat.
Yeah.
Are you really tired from doing your homework, though? It's bumming you out?
Yeah, I'm just tired, yeah.
No, but
she gets straight A's. You know that, right?
Yeah, because that's why she's tired. She's actually doing it.
Yeah,
I was never tired. I got C's and D's.
Yeah. Did you really get C's and D's?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I know.
Terrible.
That's why we are where we are.
I know, but when you got C's and D's, what did your parents say?
Like, to be expected.
No, they didn't yell at you?
No, so I was a C average, right? And I'd get a B once in a while.
Yeah.
And then I'd get an A. I got an A, like, only once or twice in high school, and it was in creative writing, because that's what I knew I liked.
Pretty good.
And the other one was in like econ or something like simple business math. You know what I mean? Like intro to like econ or whatever.
Right.
Because it was easy. It was just like, oh yeah, I know how to fucking balance a checkbook, but I couldn't like.
You know who also got those good grades?
Who?
Trump.
That's exactly right. Right. That's exactly right.
That's what he excelled at.
That's exactly right.
That's what he
excelled at. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And then in high school, though, my parents were like, you're just going to have to figure out your own path. I never was going to go to a good college. I was never that good of a student. You know why? School was boring.
So boring.
I was miserable.
You know.
As soon as I got out, I felt good. I was like, oh, I can try everything. I can do whatever I want. I can learn stuff if I need to learn shit. I learn more now on my own than I ever did in school.
You know how I would have got straight A's? If they paid me.
If money was an incentive?
No, here's the thing. Like, even like when I used to be in the workforce in my 20s.
Like in restaurants?
Yeah, you wake up at, you have 7 o'clock, you have to be in the morning.
Yeah.
At 6:30, you get up, right? And you're just like late, right? But you're going because you need to make money.
Yeah, it's there.
That's why I'm up. Mm-hmm. If you had to get up and bus tables for free, you would never show up.
Why? Why am I going?
You would never show up.
Yeah.
So what my point is that if you paid me, not a lot.
Couple bucks.
$5 an hour.
Fine.
$5 a class.
That's great.
I'd probably take 20 classes a day.
I'd take as many as I could.
Yeah.
I would never
and
leave
for
school.
For every A, you get like $2,500.
Holy shit. I'd be straight
Bro,
A's.
Bro, straight A's.
I'd be one of those.
But there's no incentive.
Yeah, what is it?
You basically have to work hard for free.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, it's like, what am I doing here? This is the worst, you know what I mean? I'm absorbing information. Why am I, what is this?
And most of the information, I hate to break to you, kid, you're never going to use. Most. Some of it's very useful.
Like what?
I think you should learn, I think you need to know basic math, okay?
But only multiplication, dividing.
Yeah, you need to learn percentages is probably, like.
I don't know any, I've never used it.
Yeah, you do.
How?
Tip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I'm not like,
I just said basic math.
Yeah, but tip, all right, at a restaurant.
Basic numbers.
If my bill was $33,000, it would be $33,243.
What are you eating?
Right, then I would have to learn that.
What were you eating for $33,000? That's an insane bill.
I know. But
where
what
are
I'm
you?
Saying, I know. But because when you generally go to a restaurant, it's like $50. You can just calculate in your head. It's pretty easy to percentile.
Can I try something?
Oh, my God.
Your bill is $128. What do you tip?
Just offhand?
Well, yeah, we're offhand. I don't have a TI-83
okay, so
nearby.
So I'll just tell you what I would tip.
That's what I'm asking you.
How much?
$128.
$128.
Just round it to $130.
No, just
okay.
So I would be I'd probably leave $40.
That's an extremely nice tip.
Yeah.
Do you know what 20% of that would be? Really?
No. But that's what I would leave.
So if you round up to 130, 13 times 2 is 26.
Because I know $100 is 15. 15% of $100 is $15.
Okay. Just start with the original number.
No. Let me just do it the way I thought. Don't do that.
No, let me tell you something.
That's why teachers never got through to me because of that.
Okay, let me revert back.
When teachers do that, you know what I mean? It's fucking annoying.
Well, let me try it again. Here you go. I'm a teacher, right?
I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay, so Bob.
I'm sweating.
So Bob.
I'm sweating.
So Bob.
Yeah.
Actually, how about this?
Don't challenge me.
You stay on that because you're over tipping, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
20% would be around $26. You're giving, you know.
Yeah.
You're fucking giving almost double. You're giving like 40% tip.
So it's so $3 at the 20, so 15. $8. So how much is the bill?
It was 128, but I said just round to
so,
130.
So I would pay to be 15% is $20 closer to that 15%.
Yeah.
What is it the actual?
But
level?
You want to tip 20%, right?
I know, but what's 15%? $20.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so I would probably leave $40. Double it.
Just go back to where we were before.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I like that. I think that's nice. At least you're over tipping, you know? There's
they,
nothing
they had
worse.
To pay you in school. That's all. That was the bit.
If they They should pay.
Yeah.
But you know what's so funny though? Sometimes like I don't want to discuss this with you cuz I don't know you don't know anything about it, but they're trying to talk there's a pay to play in college sports. That's a big deal. It's a big argument whether people should. Do you think college athletes should be paid?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
because does the school make money?
That's right.
And they make money because LeBron James or whatever.
He never went to college.
Let's make up a sport guy.
Well, there's
a running back. Let's just make up a running
almost
back.
Almost everyone else. So just name another guy.
His name is Fatim Alaoala.
Fatim Muhammad?
No, Fletima Loala.
Oh, Fletima Loala.
Yeah, and he's from Nigeria. He's a great running back.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Right.
He goes to
and let's
Ohio
suppose
State.
He's like he breaks all the records. He does. He runs it into the end zone. He runs it into the end zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
20 times a game.
That's impossible, but yeah.
Well, I don't know how the sport works. So
just say like 4 times a game is
that seems ridiculous to me. 12 times a day game.
12 times a game.
He goes from the 5 yards into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
8 times a time.
Every time a
every
time.
Time.
8
every
times
time.
A time.
He's so good. Right?
Wow. Okay.
And he can weave and move around. And so the whole town of the, you know what I mean, Colombo. Let's say there's a town called Colombo, right?
And
it's a college.
Colombo,
you know,
College.
3A college team.
And Colombo's
there.
Yeah,
Colombo's
He's
there.
He's like,
right?
You're a good runner.
yeah, you're a good runner,
kid.
And Fatima Loala, right? He goes from the 5 to the NZs, right?
Yeah.
8, 9 times a game. The whole town of Colombo realizes it.
They love it.
They go, we don't usually sport, you know what I mean? The Red Jams. You know, that's the team's name.
They're called the Red Jams?
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Colombo Red Jams.
Yeah, the Colombo Red Jams. And they don't, you know, we're only, you know, 9th division. We're a 3A team, but we're 9th division.
Oh, so they're 3A.
Yeah, 3A team, but we're 9th division, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever during the regular season, right, they never win.
They never win.
They never win, right?
Even though they've got Fatima.
They never won before Fatim.
When Fatim showed up.
So the people in Colombo, they go, why do we go?
Yeah.
You know, it's embarrassing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The Skylarks beat us every time.
Well, they're really good.
Yeah.
Because they have that kid from New Guinea.
Yeah, New Guinea.
And he's
the Skylarks,
very good.
You know what I mean? Always crush us,
He probably runs in the NZ maybe 13 times a game.
Yeah, and the town of Middletown where the Skylark school
it's in
is.
Middleton,
right? And that kid, you know, they bury us every time.
They're the best.
20 years that kid's been burying us.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, he can't get out of high school.
It's college. This is college sport.
Can't get out of college.
Yeah. So Fatim, right, he comes, right, straight from Nigeria.
Right from the plane to the football field?
Yeah, right to the field.
Wow.
They go right to practice. And they realize right away, right, he's got, like, real strong legs. they realize it right away. They even analyze it. The sports doctor, you know how they all have a sports doctor?
Yeah, Colombo.
They bring him in, right?
Yeah.
And they analyze Fatim's legs, right? And they see extra muscles around the calves.
Uh-oh.
It's like, you know, the regular muscles, and there's another one that protrudes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they poke at it. You know how doctors do? They poke at it, right?
Yeah.
And they hear, ding, 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 ding.
It's metal?
No, it's not. But the muscle makes a metal sound. Right?
It's that good. It's that tight.
That tight.
Wow.
Ding, 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 ding. They take 3 steps back, the doctors. They look at it. We got it.
We got the guy.
The scout did. Hey, Randy.
Yes.
Some nerd with glasses.
He's in a wheelchair.
Comes in. He comes and scrolls in, right?
Yeah.
Great job scouting him in Nigeria.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And then they push Randy out.
Oh.
right.
He's gone.
And here's the ball.
Oh, they give Fatim the ball.
Yeah, and give the ball because he's not the quarterback.
Right, no, he's a running.
Dylan Skybark.
Right here. I'm Dylan Skybark, born and raised in Middleton. I'm the Skylark.
Hand it off to fucking, you know.
Yep.
And so he just like the Roadrunner, right? The whole town
of Colombo
starts coming.
Oh, right. Before it was a few
people.
How many
people live in Colombo?
I think it's like 22,000.
No.
What?
14 million.
14 million people are in Colombo.
Yeah. They all come. They have to make the stadium so much bigger.
They got to build a new stadium.
Yeah. Like they make it bigger than the biggest stadium ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. 14 million people from Colombo are showing up to watch it.
14 million people are there, right?
Okay.
And, you know, they can charge so much. They can charge $300 a head.
Per ticket. What?
And now Fatim, he's boom, boom, every fucking year. Boom, boom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Touchdown.
That's all he hears.
Right.
Touchdown.
That's all you hear.
Touchdown.
You could be, right, in fucking Chicago.
And you could hear touchdown that loud.
You could hear touchdown that loud. You're like, you know, you're working at a fucking subway.
Yeah.
Right? Not the sandwich shop, in the subway.
Oh, underground.
Underground.
Okay.
Right? And you just swat. Touchdown. Boom, boom, touchdown. Right? And
Fatim must have scored another touchdown.
Colombo, you know, I wish we didn't live, you know.
So close.
But how close is Colombo to Chicago?
Two different states over.
Two states away? I can hear touchdown that often?
South.
Jeez, Fahima's
good. I can't think of the states right now. But south, okay?
Yeah.
So then years go by. And then one day, Fatim, he goes halfway. He doesn't go full way. He doesn't do that. He stops, right? And he puts the football on the ground. He
Fumble.
Sheds one tear like the American Indians do when you litter.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And he walks off the field.
Fatim.
And why? Because the school is making billions of dollars.
Uh-huh.
And Fatim still lives in with his grandmother, Doya.
He lives at Doya's house.
Money. Where no, does... He has no money. And he knows that the whole fucking town of Colombo, you know, he's making so much money. He gets nothing.
They're
so
making
that's
money.
That's why you have to pay college athletes.
Because of Fatim.
Exactly. What do you think?
I think we should send this to the NCAA and see what they think.
Write it up. Because I really, I, you know what?
You
I
just
never
wrote
had
it.
I never had a cause. I never had a cause. I had never, you know.
But we're down with
when
pay
I
to play.
See, when I see, I get angry about things.
Yeah.
When I see Hispanic kids being at the border and they be put in cages, it breaks my heart.
They're putting who in cages?
Well, you know how like people sneak over and then they take the Hispanic kids, they put them in the cages.
Well, yeah, because they got so much energy. What are you going to do? Let them wind
up? Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to put them in something to keep them.
Maybe put them in a hotel room, though. Not at a Four Seasons, but like, you know, a Motel 6.
Like a courtyard, Marriott courtyard?
Whatever.
What did they put you in, Andres, when you guys came over? Yeah, you have never been big on causes.
Yeah, I never. Yeah, but I think I could get behind that one because I think it's a travesty.
Pay to play is great, particularly in fact when they make money.
But what is the argument against it?
Well, people that do argue against it, which I am not, they say... it's usually this guy. Ready? It's this guy.
Yeah, I think we should start paying college kids.
Let me tell you something stupid.
Well, please don't call
let
me that.
Let me tell you
this
something.
Is a debate.
They go to school for free. They get a free education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm.
Which is life. It's life growth. And then, when they're done, they can go into the pros and get paid up there. But it doesn't work. You get a free schooling, okay? And the money that you bring in goes to the team and the school itself to support this wonderful university, and we have history.
Mm.
So, no, they don't deserve a dime.
Yeah, but so Fatim's going to leave if you don't pay him.
Well, he can go on and go on then, but we won't. Oh, Fatim! They think that because they get to go a free education, that's the benefit, that they get free food, free meals, free lodging, a free education, a free start.
Well, you don't pay everyone.
You don't pay everyone. Only the good guys get paid.
Yeah, you get the ones that are like, you know, the stars.
Yeah, but what do you say to the other guys then?
Get better. It gives them incentive.
So if you so give them incentive to get paid, just like you
like
wanted
like the Fatim situation. Let's say there's a guy named Todd.
Oh fuck! I can't stand.
No, not Todd Phillips.
That's a director.
He's a director. Yeah.
No.
Todd. We don't know his last name. His name is Todd.
Todd Rosende.
Todd Rosende. Thank you. And Todd looks at Fatim and he goes, "Hey man, I can only do two a game.
He only gets two NZs a game.
Yeah. But this guy Fatim's getting 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better than you.
If I was Todd, I would go up to Fatim one day and go, "Hey man, in Nigeria, how do you get that extra muscle in your calf?" No, honestly.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know how to do a Nigerian accent. When you run from tigers all the time.
That's the exact same accent you do for like everything. But when you run from tigers all the time.
HelloFresh! Oh my God. You know, during this pandemic, HelloFresh has saved my life. I love their food. It delivers right to your door. It's easy to make. It's high quality food. It's really delicious.
It's very nice. Easy to follow recipes too. And Bobby, you know, is telling you the truth. He doesn't leave his home. I can't get him to go have lunch with me in public, so he gets food delivered to the house, and that's the only way I can get him over to my house is if food is already there.
You can also save 40% by using HelloFresh versus shopping at your local grocery store, and it's more convenient. Also,
it's much cheaper than ordering out at some fancy restaurant. Get some HelloFresh and cook it for yourself at your own home. Tons of different delicious options, and 90% of the ingredients are sourced directly from growers.
They also have vegetarian stuff, low-calorie stuff, kid-friendly recipes. It's cool, man.
Also, HelloFresh is a great company. They donated over 2.5 million meals to charity.
Oh, my God.
And this year, they're stepping
people.
Up food donations to local communities amid the crisis. So when you're at home, don't leave the house. Just get HelloFresh delivered food to your door. So this is very good. It's flexible for your lifestyle. Keep your fridge stocked up with all sorts of good stuff. Yeah, right?
I love it.
Right, Bob?
I love that. This is something that I use in my own personal life.
No, I know. I like it very much. It's easy to do. It's easy to cook. It's committed to making fresh, delicious food available for you to get at your house. Go to HelloFresh.com/BadFriends80 and use code BADFRIENDS80. That's 80.
You get $80 off your first month, man.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
That's a deal of a lifetime.
Free shipping on your first box, too. So they'll give it to you for free. And restrictions are going to apply. Go to HelloFresh.com for more details. But go to HelloFresh.com/BadFriends80. Use the code BADFRIENDS80.
BADFRIENDS80.
Get $80 off, okay?
Blue Chew! Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go?
Yeah.
Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. I've used it, Andrew.
Yes.
It really does work.
So have I.
You chew-chew, right? You chew-chew. And boing-boing.
Boing-boing, chew-chew, boing-boing.
Yeah.
It's the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So if you're having a little bit of trouble getting the train to go at full speed, go ahead and get some Blue Chew. Chew it, and you will feel the difference. They're prescribed online by physicians. Licensed, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office and wait at a pharmacy. Do it from the comfort of your own house. Where are they made, Bob? They're made right here.
In the U.S. of A.
That's
America.
That's right, baby. They ship direct to your house, and they're cheaper than a pharmacy. We got a special deal for our listeners.
Oh, my God, what a deal.
If you're looking to get the blood flow back to the man in your basement, try it out. Go to BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code.
Bad Friends.
Just pay $5. Again, that's Blue, BLUEChew.com. Promo code is Bad Friends to try for free. It's better, cheaper, faster. You make this podcast what it is by helping our sponsors. So please use the promo code BADFRIENDS at BlueChew.com.
Mm-hmm. Literally, I just found out about that just now. I'm shocked that they don't get paid anything.
Yeah, they don't. It's insane. It's a big debate.
Because a lot of times, I mean, let me ask you this, something. In a sport like that,
mm-hmm.
not all kids go to pro, right? Does every college kid playing for an NCAA team?
No.
Do they go pro?
No.
So basically,
not even
but
close.
They all want to.
Of course. I mean, no, that's not true necessarily. Most D1 athletes wish they could go pro, but most D1 athletes realize at some point it's not going to happen, right? So like there's a division. There's people that they know are going to go pro. There's three classes in my mind. Fact, you're going to go pro. There's no doubt. You're one of the best. It's like a joke. You're Fatim.
Yeah.
Second level. You're good. You could go pro.
Yeah.
You never know.
You
could get out and go, I just want to work and do a regular job. I don't want to fucking do sports professionally because I'm not good enough to stay. Third level of college athlete is like, look, I'm a white guy. I'm good at basketball. I'm 6'2". There's no fucking way I'm going pro, but I'm having fun. There's that guy too.
So that guy should get paid.
The guy who's just having a good time. That
I mean, it's like, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If I went to school, like college,
mm-hmm.
what's a good basketball college?
I mean, University of North Carolina.
Okay, I go to University of North Carolina, right?
Sure.
I get in.
Duke.
Can I just show up and go, I want to be on it?
If you're a registered college.
Yeah, I'm a college register.
Okay.
And can I just go to the stadium or the training area and sign up and go, I want to be on the team?
Well, there's no sign up. But yeah, you could go there and say, I'd like to try out.
You have to try out.
No. If they have walk-ons, not every school has walk-on tryouts.
Yeah.
Some schools do say, hey, we hold walk-on tryouts. You can try to join. But the other players
So those kids that are on all the teams had to either try out or get scouted.
Most of them got scouted. It's rare to get a walk-on.
But you can't, if they've never seen you play basketball, you can't be on the team.
You could if you've never played ball and you show up and you're Fatim.
No, you don't. You just show up. You don't even play. And you go, I want to put me on the team.
Yeah, they go, get the fuck out.
Okay, so there we go.
Yeah.
Right? So the people that are on the team, right,
mm-hmm.
that are on the third tier, as you were saying.
Like the best of the best.
The best of the best. They should get paid because they did all the work to get on the team.
Yeah.
And if the school is making a bunch of fucking money.
They're making a lot of money.
They should make money.
They're making a lot of money.
They should make money.
I agree. I'm on your team. I'm on your side. You're making these guys play. And also, a college education is worth what anymore? Are you going to go to college?
Yeah.
She's looking right now.
Where are we going to go? Where are we going to send you? And on whose dollar? You better get a scholarship. We're not paying. Are we paying for that? We're not paying for that scholarship.
Where do you want to go? What's your number one school?
I don't know yet. Maybe just...
Hey.
Community.
Yeah.
Community college?
Yeah.
Why community college?
Roger said that it pays less,
Roger said it costs less.
Yeah.
And who's Roger?
Grandfather.
Right. Community colleges. Right. But I think you're smart. You could probably get a scholarship somewhere. You could probably.
Maybe.
I think so. Don't you?
Well, she's getting her license, too.
Oh, that.
Roger's taking her driver's license. She has her.
That's what, worth
you,
something.
You have interim permit, or what do you have?
Driver's permit.
She has a driver's permit.
Are you letting her drive?
No.
Why not?
Have you driven my car once?
No.
But
no.
If you, when you get your permit, you need hours to log in.
Yeah, let Roger do it.
Why? And just in case? What's the difference? You don't care about your car. What is the worry? That she's a bad driver? Answer? Me?
No, I'm trying. I would answer if I had the answer. I don't have the answer.
So why can't you drive your car on the way home today? Say, Tito, Bobby, can I drive home today?
There's no way.
Why?
No, I'm still practicing.
Because yeah, the first time.
Practice on no, the way
no,
home.
No, I'll tell you why. The first time I asked her, let's go driving, she did a no. You know what I mean? Like a freak out thing. So there was no confidence behind it. So then I was like, oh, okay.
So
she
you
have the skills.
You lost confidence because of her lack of confidence.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Well, at some point you're going to have to just jump all in. You can't be scared because if you drive pensive and nervous, you know what's going to happen. That's when you get in an accident. So you got to drive aggressive. Let me give you a couple simple rules that my mother taught me when I was young. Mm. My Aunt Kathy actually taught me this. When the light is green, what do?
You go.
When the light is red, what do?
You stop.
When the light is yellow, what do?
You slow down.
No, you speed up. You go as fast as you possibly can to get through the light. You don't ever slow down at a yellow. Hit the gas.
Even if you're in the middle of like the intersection,
hit
right?
Hit the gas.
And it turns red, you're the one with movement.
Yeah, you're already going.
So you have the right of way.
Yes, Rudy. Yes.
Yes.
You don't know shit.
You don't know anything.
How far behind, when you stop at a light, how far behind the car in front of you should you be?
100 feet?
As close as you possibly can. You get as close to the car in front of you.
And it's okay to even to be touching
touch,
if you don't ram
fine.
Into them.
It's fine.
You can touch the cars.
It's called a bumper.
Yeah.
Bumper. Bump
yeah, you
the
bump,
car.
Bump.
You can bump them and go, beep, beep, right. go. We're ready to go.
Seatbelt. You wear one or not?
You wear one.
It's a suggestion. And also, it's
also a suggestion.
It's a reverse psychology thing.
Yeah.
Because, get this, you're in a fiery ball of flame.
I can't get my seatbelt off. I can't get my seatbelt off.
Right?
It's burned to your skin.
Meanwhile, I don't wear one. I'm on the sidewalk.
Smoking.
You okay?
Get out. Get out of the car.
Yeah, I'm smoking. Get out. Yeah.
Get out of the car.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what I did in my car? You can look afterwards. I've taken scissors. I've cut the seatbelt right out of the car. I don't even want it in there.
Or you know what I've done? Because sometimes seatbelts make noises if you don't have it on.
When they did.
So I have it on, but I just, now my back is against the seatbelt.
I sit on it.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's not on me.
You've got some of them, right?
Some of it, yeah.
When you run out of gas, let's say you run out of gas on in a neighborhood somewhere, what's the first move?
You go to the side of the curb and then you call.
No. Put the car in park, get out, and walk away.
You don't.
Leave it. Leave the car. It's not your problem anymore. Call someone, go, hey, the car's out of gas on Briar Street.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go. I got stuff going on. Someone needs to get and fix and help the car. Not your problem.
Also, in an emergency, right, you can kind of use another person's car.
You're allowed to. It's called commandeer another vehicle. So you run out of gas. You've got some. Auntie Kalila says.
It depends on what you have to do. Like if you have to go to the gym, not necessarily. But if you're late for like a development meeting at a studio.
Yep.
Or dinner. Or dinner.
Yeah. A good dinner. If you've got a
you
good
have
dinner.
Finals.
Yeah.
Finals, you can steal any car and then take it.
So the code is you go up to a car, like at a stoplight, you run out of gas, and then you knock on the window, tell them to roll it down, you know, if they have an old roller. I don't know if they have, or, and they roll it down and go, I'm commandeering this vehicle. I have somewhere to be. And if they say no, you punch them as hard as you can, open the door, pull them out. Get in the car and say, have a good day, and keep driving. This is America, dude.
Give it back, the car?
No. You drive until it runs out of gas, and then you leave that one where it is as well. Hopefully you'll run it out of gas near your home or the location that you're going. This is stuff that you got to know.
I'm not going to drive with her.
You're not going to let her
drive? But Roger does it. Roger's her grandfather. Roger's a good guy.
How old is your grandfather?
72.
Does he drive well?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Because sometimes old people, when
we
they
really
wait,
like him. He's
the
a
way
guy.
That they drive, dude. I ran an old person off the road when I first moved to L.A.
Did you really?
Yeah, she hit a tree.
Did she die?
I didn't stick around.
That's illegal, bro. You have to stick around.
Eesh.
Can I tell you what happened to
it's
me?
It's like 14 years ago.
I was with my brother Steve.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Friday night.
Yeah.
It was raining. And I was on La Cienega and Sunset, right? So I was going up La Cienega.
I know where.
In a rented car.
Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, I didn't run an old person off the road.
I know you didn't. That's why I went over.
Sorry.
That's why I ran over
the bit. But honestly?
You have a joke? Did you have a joke?
I did.
Well, do what I was doing, the OCD. Go ahead. Tell me the joke now.
Mm.
See how weird it is?
It's over. Go ahead.
No. You have to say the joke now. Because I did a couple that, like, the time had passed.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of times in podcasts, you think of something, but then the timing, you know what I mean? And
it's
then
gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And then you just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But not today. We're not doing that today. Tell me the joke.
So I ran this old lady off the road.
Right. She hit a tree.
She hit a tree head on.
Yeah.
And I didn't stay initially.
Mm.
I kept driving.
You're supposed to stay.
Then I felt bad.
Yeah.
I turned around. I came back to the scene.
Yeah.
I got her out of the car. I noticed that she was still breathing. And I got nervous because now there's a witness. So I took off my shirt. She was bleeding. And I pretended like I was going to cover up her wound. And I just wrapped it around her head and I strangled her to death. You were on La Cienega and Sunset? You were on La Cienega and Sunset? Go ahead. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. Sorry. I strangled her. Wait, I strangled her.
A little dark.
I strangled her. Now
can you switch it?
Yeah.
Change it a little bit. Go ahead.
I ran an old lady off the road and she hit a tree when I first moved to L.A.
Yeah. Did you stop? Or?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I stopped to make sure she was okay.
Yeah.
And when I saw that she was totally fine and there was no big deal,
mm-hmm.
I pulled out my Magnum 357 and I shot her 1,000 times.
Yeah. See? What a clever guy.
Sunset and La Cienega.
Yeah. Well, now my bit. See, now my bit.
You got to do it.
Now my bit doesn't work after that.
You don't have
one.
A choice.
I know, but I have to do it. But my bit, it has nothing even to do with that.
Oh, I've told you my story. I actually hit a guy with my car, and this is real.
Yeah.
I hit a man in the rain.
Yeah.
I swear to
Can
God.
Can I not tell my story?
No, you.
It's not as good.
Nope.
Oh, fuck.
I hit a man in the rain. Go ahead. It was raining in La Cienega and Sunset.
You hit a man in the rain?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. All right. So let me tell my first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I rented a car. It was like a Chrysler. And it's one of those cars where if you look at the dashboard, you don't know where like the gas light is, where the where you're running out of gas.
Sure.
Like all the symbols look kind of the same. I just never looked at it or whatever. And we had just gotten the car, so I'm like, you don't assume that you have to refill it.
Not right
but
away.
I ran out of gas.
Oh shit.
So it was raining, 5 p.m. Friday, La Cienega, right?
For those that don't know, it's an incline
like this.
Yeah.
And it's the most traffic. Congested place on planet Earth.
On Earth. Yeah.
It's just cars everywhere. And if a car stalls there.
Oh, boy.
People don't go home for 5 hours.
Yeah, at least.
So it stalls. Right? I put the emergency brake on. I'm with my brother.
Smart.
I go, Steve! Because you know there's a Chevron right there?
Yeah.
Go get gas. My brother is panicking. He runs in the rain, right? People are honking, screaming at me. I'm just sitting there sweating. I'm sorry, right? My brother comes, right,
mm-hmm.
with the fucking thing, and we pour it into the what do you call it?
Gas hole.
The gas hole?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those nozzles, right, where you have to either push it in for it to come out.
Yeah.
So my brother was doing it, but he was pushing it in the wrong spot, and the thing wasn't actually in the hole, so it went all on the side of the car. He had to go back there again with the same thing. They go, we don't have another thing. He's trying to instruct my brother how to do it.
Yeah.
And my brother comes back, and now my brother and I are going to kill each other.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I see this guy, right? These two guys. One guy didn't do anything, but they were both wearing Comedy Store t-shirts.
Employees. Who was it?
It was Stephen Fury.
Okay.
And Hassan.
Oh, nice.
You know Hassan?
Yeah, I know
they're
them both.
Very funny.
Yeah, they're good dudes.
But I didn't know that who they were at all.
You never met him yet?
No, I mean, you know how I am at the Comedy Store. I'd seen them around.
You don't know who anybody
but
is.
I didn't know them.
Yeah.
So I go, they go, hey, you need help, Bobby? I go, yeah. And Stephen Fury does it. He puts it in,
mm-hmm.
right? And I looked at him, I go, you're going to open for me. And I gave him opening dates. That's how I knew him.
Really?
And then, but then once he started open for me, I realized how strong he was.
He's very funny.
He's so funny.
He's extremely funny.
And Hassan, I gave Hassan dates as well, but they saved my fucking life. There was no joke. There was just a fucking story.
No, that's really nice.
What about
Fury,
the man in that?
Fury,
man in that
I had a guy in the rain.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm.
Glenn.
No, I hit a guy in the rain.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real story. I was going to a job. I was going to a dinner to get fired from a job. That's a fact. I was going to get fired from my first job in LA.
Yeah.
And I was mad. I didn't want to go. And it was raining so bad on Crescent Heights and Beverly, where that big dip is, where swingers used to be.
Yeah.
You know how that's a dip down?
Yeah. Oh, I have a swinger story.
I went through.
About a dip.
I went through so fast, and the rain hit my car so hard, it spread all over my window, and I made a left. A guy was running through the rain across the street, and I smoked him. Shattered my windshield, got glass in my face. I hit him so fucking hard. He came out of his shoes. Okay? I got out. What's going on? Are you okay? Not okay? A woman's like, I'm calling the cops. Call the cops. I was like, it's okay. I have insurance. He didn't stick around. He fled the scene. I hit him, and his buddy was like, let's go. We got to get the fuck out of here. They had a backpack. I thought something was wrong. It's not funny. I hit a guy. And then for weeks, I thought, what if he died now?
I think you're making up a story.
Swear to God on my life.
Well, you could go to prison.
Why? We called the cops.
Oh,
they left. They left the scene.
Okay.
And guess who didn't show up?
Who?
The cops. They never came. I fucking sat there in the fucking rain waiting for the cops with this old, batty, crazy woman.
Can I tell you something right now? I literally didn't hear any of the story. I kind of dozed off. Mm. That's why I asked you that.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I really didn't.
That's fine.
I'm so fucked up that I do that.
Yeah, you do it to me all the time.
Yeah. I just want to give Chris Kattan a message.
Can we call Chris?
No.
Call him.
I don't want to.
Call him.
So Chris Kattan.
Call him.
I don't want to call him.
Bobby.
I'm not calling him.
Bobby, call him.
But
Bobby,
you
call
know,
Chris
Kattan.
I'm doing
Kattan. The same thing.
Call him.
I'm not.
Call him.
No.
Call him.
All right.
Here we go. Great. Chris Kattan. We'll put up a picture right here, I'm sure. Yes. Come on. Come on, Chris Kattan.
Hi, this is Chris. Please leave me.
So, now,
how does that make you feel? When someone doesn't answer the phone when you call them.
Now I'm mad.
Really?
Yeah, because I was feeling guilty because I don't text him back.
Oh, I know, because I saw all the blues on
his
side.
Yeah. So I was feeling guilty about it. Mm-hmm. But now that I called and he didn't pick up, I don't feel as guilty anymore.
Were you relaying because of something that happened in the text, or were you saying that because me and you, what happened yesterday?
You know, it's funny. I didn't know that I was doing a podcast with a little boy. I didn't know I was doing a podcast with somebody that needed tissue paper to wipe his tears. I didn't know I was doing a podcast where – you know what I'm going to get for your birthday? A little violin. A tiny little violin. I didn't know I was doing a podcast with a biatch.
It's so funny. I'm going through my head right now of stuff that I want to like do to you or throw at you or physically hurt you. And I was like, I can't. I actually texted Bob 10 times in a row, didn't text or call back.
It's so fucking stupid.
And then I said, hey – well, first of all, I said, do you want to get lunch? I've done that twice in a row, and you didn't respond either time.
First of all, you
just say, I'm good. Thanks. I'm good. I already ate. Okay, that's all I need to know. And then I said, Bob, because I played Warzone, the fans and me would love it if you went to the driving range with me. I wanted to go to the driving range. I thought it'd be fun. I said, let's go to the driving range. I know you have nothing going on. I know you have nothing going on. Because Kalila sends me a fucking schedule. I get a screenshot of your schedule. I know what the fuck you're doing. Nothing. Goose egg. And you didn't come to the driving range with me. And it's down the street from your house. You can spit there from where you live. I plan my life with you based on proximity for you.
If you said, hey, dude, can you come to my house and have lunch? Because I haven't been to a restaurant in 6 months, right? I have not since the pandemic. Jules, have we been to a restaurant?
You went to Mendocino Farms.
No, we get it delivered.
You didn't go.
We've never eaten at a restaurant. So
you haven't eaten at one restaurant.
No. So when you text me, hey, let's go have lunch. It's like, I'm not going to a restaurant to eat with you. We don't do that.
Why?
Because we're in lockdown.
No, we're not in lockdown.
Yes, we. Oh, our family.
Your
in lockdown.
Family is stupid. Oh. Everyone is eating outside. There's outside stuff everywhere.
We don't do it. I haven't been to a Starbucks. You know how badly I want to go to a fucking Starbucks? When I leave here with her,
yeah.
I look at her and I go, can I go to a Starbucks? She goes, no, I'll tell Kalila, you get trouble.
Snitch.
You know what? Fact, you know what? I'm going to a Starbucks.
You guys can eat on a patio.
Yeah, I'm going to go to a Starbucks after this, and you're not going to tell Kalila.
Ooh, I like this.
Okay? So my point is that so when you text me that, right, it's like you already, I just assume that you already know the answer. And the second thing.
Of course I don't know the answer. When I ask you to get lunch, what you should say then is, hey, not eating at restaurants, do you want to eat at your house or eat together somewhere else? We can get it delivered. But you don't say anything, and it's mean. It's rude.
And the second text was, do you want to play golf? It's like, no.
Driving range. Go to the driving range.
I don't know how to play it.
That's the fun. I fucking bought headphones to play Warzone. I don't know how to play it.
Oh, I'll do it. You going to tape it, though? If I don't want it to go to waste. You have to tape it.
I'll film it. We'll bring a camera. Andres, will you set up a camera so we can do it?
Absolutely.
Then it's so much fun, and rude can come. So wait a minute. Are you going to be allowed to go to a driving range because it's outside?
Probably not. It'll be a fight. But that's another thing. It's always a fight thing.
But why don't you guys...
Because she doesn't trust me.
Right, because you're going to, like, lick somebody or something.
No, it's not. I don't lick things. You know what I mean? But she doesn't... She thinks that, like...
But if you're wearing a mask, you're being safe and you're fine.
She just doesn't trust me. And she has a point, you know? I'm kind of like a... You know,
you're like a little kid.
Yeah, like, I just don't think of things.
Like, you've touched your face 7 to 10 times during this podcast.
I know, because my face itches.
Don't itch it.
So my point is that she doesn't really trust me. So, you know, it's like, what did you say?
Oh, did he text you back?
Hey, can I try you back later?
No. Say, I need you now, Chris Kattan. Cap City closed down. Cap City Comedy Club in Austin.
Great.
Really?
They banned me. And I'm so happy that that's the case.
That's a bummer.
You know why? Because the Improv's opening there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. They'll bring an Improv in Austin.
Rogan talked about opening a club down there, and then I thought, what if he buys Cap City? Then would you do it?
Oh, yeah.
If it was his club? And would you just talk about the whole time that you couldn't play it anymore? You got banned from it?
Well, it's so funny because the same thing happened at Tempe.
You got banned from Tempe?
Yes.
What did you do?
So at Tempe, right, I showed the audience. Oh, so Dan Murr, you know Dan Murr?
Mm-hmm.
So Dan Murr used to be the manager at the Tempe Improv, right? And
he's gone, right? He passed away.
He died.
He passed away. What?
That's my sad face.
I know. It was very sad. He's not with us. Yeah.
So Dan Murr.
First comedy club I snuck into, by the
and
way.
And there was a guy named Howard Polans that owned, and he was a Christian.
A good Christian.
So it got to the point where they told they only would hire Christian comics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then I showed up because Mencia came in, right? And I was opening for Mencia.
And he's Methodist.
No, whatever he is.
Okay.
And they go, and they were like, we don't want Bobby. He's like, yeah, but he's my opener. And I knew that they were weird like that. So I showed the audience the inside of my butthole.
Mm-hmm. That's Christian.
Right. Just because I wanted to show everyone, we're all pink on the inside or whatever, right? And then after that, I got mad, all that stuff. And they still wouldn't put me up.
Just for showing your butthole?
Yeah. So years, 12 years, and they said he'll never play here.
Wow.
But then my buddy bought it.
Who bought it? The people who bought the Improv. Oh, yeah.
So my buddy bought it, and I was like the second or third act that they hired.
Wow.
And so when I walked up on the Improv stage, I go, I knew it was going
to
happen.
It's good to
I
be
win.
Here. Yeah, you did.
I win.
Did you show that audience your butthole?
Yeah.
Yep. And guess what?
Still pink.
Still pink, baby.
A little brown now.
And you can play more brown than ever.
More brown, yeah.
But you can play there whenever you want.
Yeah.
If Rogan buys Cap City, you'll be happy to go down to Austin and do it.
100%.
Or if he opens his own club. Look, I think it's sad that things are closing down, so it did make me sad. But then I thought, what if, you know, Joe comes through and does his thing?
There's another club out there that's kind of like that too for me. A lot of clubs, right, will have me one time, and they go, oh, it's too much for me.
Or what about you? Don't you go one time and go, I don't want to go back?
That's rare. I mean, there are some gigs like Virginia Beach where I went.
Never been.
When I went, oh, I like to play here every year. And I remember like a year went by and I go, and I did okay numbers, like good numbers.
Improv?
That's a funny bum. And I go, can I go back? And Matt was like, probably never.
Why? You showed your butthole?
No, but I go crazy on stage. You know me.
Yeah, you lose it. But what are you doing?
Hartford too.
Yeah.
They were like, enough. We're not going to have them.
Wow.
And then the one that broke my heart the most is Columbus.
Why?
The Funny Bone, because I love that room. I played it like 10 times.
Right.
And he's a buddy of mine, David Stroop, but they just stopped booking me.
Because you were just too much?
Yeah.
No, man. By the way, let me say this. I respect the family rules of the house. You guys are being safe. I understand it. It's a bummer because I want to be able to just get lunch with people outside sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not one of those that
are I get
doing
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I get because, it. It's fine. I'm not. I just. Yeah. I'm.
I am going to go to Whitney's house.
I'm more
are
mad.
You going to go to Whitney's house
tonight?
No, like because she's doing that thing.
The stand-up stuff.
Yeah.
I can't do stand-up in front of.
I told her I'm not going to do stand-up. I'll come and hang out.
Hmm.
I think that's what I'm going to do.
I don't know. I just being around stand-up is so strange right now.
Yeah, I can't imagine myself because I'm being invited. Like, you know, people text me all the time. Hey, do my show and I'll pay you.
Yeah, I'm doing my first show this weekend.
Where?
In Glendale.
Where?
It's in like a backyard. It's in like a backyard thing.
And who's doing it?
Me, Segura, a few special guests, Ian Edwards. It's actually a good show.
Do you want to come? Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more to just try. I it's been 6 months.
Yeah, I can't do it.
And I need to practice because, you know.
Because
I'm going and doing dates in October.
Oh, you have to go up. Yeah. Yeah, I refuse to go up until there's a regular audience.
Well, they are regular. What do you mean? What's wrong with them?
They're scattered, right?
They're 6 feet apart. They're you and me apart.
I mean, because I look at like what Chappelle's doing in Miami and I go, not Miami, Florida.
Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, Chappelle does that outside show.
It's in Ohio, right? Isn't he in Yellow Springs?
Oh, I don't know where it is.
Yeah, where he lives, yeah. Miami. Dave Chappelle presents! Chappelle can come! Miami!
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
Bum, 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 bum,
wherever,
bum, bum,
it, wherever it is.
Yellow Springs, Ohio. It's at his fucking house, I think. It is like a ranch or something.
Yeah, and I just that doesn't seem like stand-up to me.
You would go, if Chappelle sent you an invite, you would go in a heartbeat to go to his little camp or whatever the fuck that is.
I don't think I would.
Dave Chappelle calls you on the phone.
I don't think I would do
stand-up. What's up, Bobby?
Get
your ass.
I don't know if I want to do stand-up.
If Dave Chappelle called your phone and said, will you come to Yellow Springs and do a show and come hang out with me at the camp? You would say, I don't think. Really? You would say, I don't think I want to go?
I think I would panic and I'd probably write a set.
And you'd go?
I'd probably go, yeah.
If the fucking goat told you to go?
Sure, sure.
Isn't he the greatest? Don't you think he's the greatest?
I think he's our generation's Richard Pryor, yeah.
I think he's the greatest comic that's ever lived.
Yeah, I think that...
in my fucking opinion.
I think in every generation we have, you know, a type.
I think he supersedes time.
I think that our George Carlin... Who's our George Carlin, do you think?
Who's our George Carlin?
Mm-hmm.
Who's kind of like... He was politically angled and prolific.
Yeah, but he also it has to be... represent the times as well. So it's like in our era, it's because society changes and the culture changes.
Maybe,
so it's like
maybe Burr.
I think Bill Burr would
be a
George Carlin. If Chappelle is our Richard Pryor, what else is another legend?
Who's Chris Rock is kind of Chris Rock. I don't think anybody, I don't think he's like anybody before him.
He's our Bill Cosby.
What about Seinfeld? He kind of falls in the middle.
I'm going to say something controversial to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
You don't understand Seinfeld's humor?
I can understand why people like it.
Yeah.
But I've never like looked at it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I never looked at it and, you know, his wife pronounced my name wrong.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's more what it's about.
She called me Billy.
And she didn't pronounce your name wrong. She said your name wrong.
Yeah, pronounce wrong. How are you having fun,
would
Billy?
Would be Booby Lee.
And I go, I know. And I go, she just called me Billy in my mind.
What'd you call her?
Nothing. I go, I'm having fun. You know, she goes, you having fun here, Billy? And I go, I'm having fun.
Where were you guys?
It was a weird.
Like a bumper car ride?
No.
You having fun, Billy?
No, it was, I don't know. This has never happened before or after. It'll never happen again. I don't know why it happened.
With the Seinfelds.
No. What happened was Apatow calls me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never called me again.
Mm-hmm.
I think something happened. I think I rubbed everyone the wrong way or whatever.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay. Do you really know?
Mm-hmm.
So Apatow called me. He goes, hey, I have to go to this lunch brunch. And it's going to be you, me, and...
Wayne, what's his name?
Newton.
Wayne Newton.
Wayne Fetterman.
Wayne Fetterman.
Yeah.
And I go, where is it? It's at the Palm restaurant, whatever.
The old one on Santa Monica?
So I go, what is it? And he's like, it's Jerry Seinfeld's wife has a charity, and it's a luncheon, and you want to go? And I go,
I don't feel good. I'm sick.
I go, I'm going to go.
Wow.
So I wore my best Hawaiian shirt, right? And I show up.
Yeah.
And it's me, Judd, Fetterman, sitting at a table. Sebastian's there, too, because you know Sebastian's in with Seinfeld.
They're very close. He's the only guy that did his show twice, I think.
And it was like, when Sebastian saw me there, you could see that he was shocked.
He goes,
hey, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Right? And I go, I don't know. Why I'm here?
How mean is that when somebody goes, what are you doing here? You're like, fuck.
I know.
I don't belong.
Oh, I have another story about a famous guy, and I've never called him out. I'm going to call him out.
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to start a war.
But hold on, let's do this first. So get through this. Sebastian says, what are you doing here? You're like, I don't belong here. You're at the thing.
So I go, yeah, I don't know. And then I met Seinfeld's walk by.
Mrs. Seinfeld.
No, Jerry.
Oh.
With his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Judd goes, this is Bobby Lee. He didn't know I was a comic. Bobby, he's a comic. He said, hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And then his wife goes, nice to meet you. And they walk by. And then an hour into the luncheon, there was a bunch of speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the thing
was. How bored were you?
I was so bored.
Yeah.
And the shrimp was dry.
The shrimp was dry at the Palm?
Yeah. And then I remember she comes back. She goes, you having fun, Billy?
That's fine. She's never met you before. She barely knows. You don't even know her fucking name. Yeah. And what did you say? Yes, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you let that sit with you?
Yeah. No. I don't know. I should let it go.
That's insane. You just met her for the first time. It's not like it's not like, dude, I've met this girl 10 times.
Yeah. Can I tell you?
Because I have stories of comics like that.
Yeah.
I've met you before. Andrew, right? Yes, bitch. We've met 1,000 fucking times. Stop pretending like you don't know me.
Yeah.
I mean,
I used to go to all those because I was sober.
What about?
And I couldn't get any girls.
Right.
Right? And so but this is so embarrassing. So I thought,
do you like
because I'm on a show,
yeah,
that if I went to a Hollywood place like Joseph's, that I may be able to get a girl, and I couldn't get any.
You still couldn't get laid?
No.
Did you ever go to like Rainbow Room?
And date the goth girls?
What's wrong with goth girls?
No, but I'm sure. I just don't like pale skin. I tried to go out with a goth girl, and she didn't like me, I think. I don't know what it is.
Didn't you do? You definitely dated pale skin women.
I did a lot.
Yeah, like three of them I've known.
Yeah.
So you do like pale skin women.
I do like pale skin.
I don't know what you're talking about. But that would that vibe, I mean, like, did you do that thing, like the sunset shit?
No. I don't know why, but I kind of was going for like
nightclub rats.
Well, no, you kind of think to yourself, can I elevate my game? In my head, I thought the game was there.
It wasn't.
Yeah. But what I went was, I went to my own people.
What was your own people?
Kalila.
Right, but that's years later.
Yeah. I feel comfort with someone that's, you know, more closer to my ethnicity, I guess.
Yeah.
Somebody that, you know, eats the same kind of things I do and doesn't look at my, you know, body and judges me in a lens of race.
She doesn't judge you in any way physically.
No.
No, I know. It's nice. Like, she's never looked at you.
It's last night, because I had... I almost didn't come today because I had my stomach hurt so bad last night I couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. I was achy and I was making groans.
In tummy?
No. Yeah, my tummy. And Kalila would, and I was farting up because we had this garlic sauce. Remember the garlic sauce? I was farting out something just abysmal, man. Mm. Like it stunk up the whole room.
I know.
Yeah. And it was like a thick jungle, like thick napalm. Napalm, garlic, and shit. That's
like
what
it blankets the room.
Yeah, it blankets the room. Yeah, like the army could use it.
Yeah.
And so it was just blanking the room, and every 10 seconds, shh, it was like I was spreading my cheeks apart too.
Oh, because you didn't want to flap.
I didn't want to flap, right?
Yeah.
So shh, right? And Kalila would just kind of rub my head. You okay? So what can I do? What can I do? And some pale white chick would have been like, "I'm out of here."
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Ew, you're gross. Are you farting?
Yeah.
Go in the other room.
And I just kind of like the fact that Kalila is like, will go deep into the pigsty.
Will she smell it?
She doesn't like it.
Oh. Yeah, she just is like, it
she
is.
Go, she doesn't go, mmm. She doesn't do that.
That would be hot.
Yeah.
And she goes,
Yeah, so, you know.
So you ended up where you belonged.
Yeah, but there was a time where I was like, maybe I could get, like, you know.
Did you ever get laid?
Alyssa Milano or whatever.
Did you ever get laid at the nightclub? You never took home one girl from all the years you spent in nightclubs? Really? What about girls that were like, recognize you from Mad TV? Still? Like a girl that comes up to you that's like, you're so funny, I want to drink with you, and you drink and you party with them, and you never got laid. And what about like a kiss?
I was like Joey Diaz in the sense that like I kind of dated in-house.
Like your cousins, like family?
No. Yeah, because Joey Diaz is, you know, girlfriend, right? Or wife, you know what I mean?
And
was a waitress at the Comedy Store.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And I knew her way back then, so it's like, it's in-house, right? So it's like you start, you know, covet what you see, like Buffalo Bill and Silence of the Lambs, right? You covet, you know what I mean?
Bad reference.
No, I love that reference.
I know.
It's the truth. Mm-hmm. It's like you covet what's around, so then you start dating, you know, a comic.
Right.
Right? Or, you know, a waitress or whatever. That's why when Jim Carrey, you know, his first wife was a waitress at the Comedy Store.
Sure, yeah.
You covet what you see. And so I just kind of stayed in-house rather than going outside. You know, I think later in life, you know, when I became more of a name, it became much easier when I had a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning of Mad TV, I didn't have that. It took years and years to get a fan base.
Before we go.
Yeah.
I want you to apologize to me for not texting me back. Even to say, no, I don't want to. The word no is fine. Nope.
No.
I don't even need no thanks.
No.
On text, not in person. In person, you do say something nice to me.
No.
You apologize for your behavior. Say, I'm sorry, I should text back.
I don't know why I can't do it.
Just close your eyes.
I can't do it.
You don't even have to look at me. Just close your eyes.
But I don't feel sorry. Is that okay if I don't feel sorry?
It's fine. Just
all right. So just know what I'm saying. I don't mean at all.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
Like I don't give a shit.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry for not texting you back.
That's good enough.
Thank you for being a bad friend.